Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, April 8th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 12, the fifth paragraph, "Thus I was convinced." Through one paragraph ending, a new world came into view, commenting on this one paragraph only today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Deb M., 12 Traditions, Joanne L. Readers of the text will be Penny L. C., Yvonne A., and Vanessa G. The reference number for Sunday, April 7th, is 21,291. That's 21291. And for this morning, Monday, April 8th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,292. That's 21292. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Lorraine N., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to each of you for providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Deb M. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, this is Deb M., compulsive overeater in Baltimore, Maryland. Step 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me read.
Thank you so much, Deb M., and I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, John. Thank you for your service, and good morning, everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. My name is Joanne L. I am from Rhode Island, and I am still working on my recovery one day at a time. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Least problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and any public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 12, the fifth paragraph. Thus, I was convinced, through one paragraph ending, a new world came into view. We're going to be commenting on that one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Penny L.C. to begin reading and then share with us. Star 1, Penny. And we're not able to hear you. May I be heard?
Yes, Dawn, you can be heard.
Oh, thank you. Okay, very good. So let's go ahead and have Penny L.C.
This is Penny L.C., yes.
Oh, great.
I'm so sorry, I got disconnected.
No worries.
Thank you for your service. Yes, good morning to you and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Thus was I convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want him enough. At long last, I saw, I felt, I believed. Scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes. A new world came into view. And my task in reading this passage is to identify in. I did believe that the God of my understanding was concerned about people. And yet, my false self-centered fear told me people in general, but not me. My spiritual challenge was to include me in the list. What helped? I learned to accept that if all the broken people in these pages were worthy, then I could be too. I had a choice. Thanks to Bill and the other addicts I could claim and acknowledge the actions I was being guided to take. I have a problem. I seek a solution. I resist change. I release fear. I receive hope. I choose willingness. In doing so, I see recovery. I feel hope. I believe that my higher power could and would, if he were sought, help me. I believe that my higher power can and will do for me what I cannot do for myself. My job now is to commit my will in my life to my higher power's will and to do the spiritual work laid out before me in these steps. Therein lies the path to the gift of recovery, the gift of freedom, the gift of serenity. I am so grateful to be a recipient. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC, for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience,
yes, I'm Barbara W. from New Jersey.
Okay. All right. Hold on one second, Barbara. Thank you so much. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So I have Barbara's name down. And who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Veronica B.
Veronica B.
Barbara A., California.
Barbara A., California. Press star one if you'd like to share.
Vanessa G.
Liz E., UK.
Vanessa G. and Liz E., UK. Okay, let's go ahead and start with that lineup. I have Barbara. And give me your initial. I forgot that. Veronica B., Barbara A., Vanessa G., and Liz E. So, Barbara, go ahead, get us started. Please let us know your initial and where you're calling from.
I'm Barbara W. from New Jersey, and I'm glad to be a part of this Vision for You group today. And I'm just happy that I am in this program, because when I was in OA before, too bad. It wasn't no use. I couldn't seem to get it. I'm 69 years old now, and I deal with chronic health conditions. And so I have to have a plan of food that's going to be good for my health. And the gray sheet is the best plan for me. I love it. There's so many things you can have. And I thank God that I am able to work this program and meet so many people. And also a lot of people that goes to my church that I go to, because I grew up in a family of religion. My mother, my grandmother, we all went to church. We was all made to go. But yet in all, we all ate what we wanted to eat when we wanted to eat. Nobody said anything about healthy food or this. We just, Granny just cooked and we just ate. But she did cook good food. We did have a good supper. But the junk that we ate, nobody said anything until years came through. And now in days and times now with the illnesses that are going on in the world now, we hear about all kind of illnesses and sicknesses that's going on now. And it's a big help to me to hear this at my age and go to the doctor and learn how to eat well. And sometimes it's not easy. But you know what? God is there in the steps of the recovery program helps me. Working the steps over and over. It never ends. I have to do them over and over and over and over. And that is what helped me to connect with God, my higher power, to know that I can't eat yo-yos or whatever you call it. I can't eat this. I can't eat that because it's got sugar in it. It's full of sugar. And sugar. I came from alcoholic to sugarholic. And it bounces. You stop drinking. There you go with the eating. And that's been my life. So now I'm just thankful that I am able to work this program and learn how to live and eat good and give it to my family. My family in South Carolina, I tell them about it too. And people that come over and see me, they say, oh, what are you cooking? It's the good food that we can eat. We don't have no excuse. We have so much food that we can learn to eat. It's a different way of living and a different way of eating. That's what it is, bottom line. And we learn it, we practice, and we get better. And I want to share that we just continue to work together and be together with this program, and we're going to all make it. We're going to all be healthy, and we're going to all be able to give it away. And we're going to all leave a legacy. So thanks for listening to Barbara W.
Thank you, Barbara W. from New Jersey. Veronica B., please share with us, followed by Barbara A.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Veronica B., from California. I am recovered and a grateful member of Overeaters Anonymous. You know, I just love this promise. You know, before this paragraph, it says, you know, if Bill is just willing to believe that a power greater than himself can restore him to sanity, then he's got a chance, you know. So it's just telling me that when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, my way was not working. My sense of control and how I was living and my thinking was not working for me. It always led me to food. My self-reliance led me to food. And this is telling me that as long as I'm willing to believe that there's a power greater than myself out there that can restore me to sanity and can help me with my food addiction, then I have a chance. I have a chance to recover from this hopeless disease. And it's telling me that I have to take certain action. I have to take the spiritual action to guide me and to lead me towards my higher power of my understanding. This means, you know, scales of pride and prejudice. That's ego and judgment. And for me, my life is based on my ego, and I judge others. I have been recovered since 2019, and I'm telling you, it's a daily reprieve. It's a daily reprieve for me because my ego and my judgment always blocks me from my higher power, and this is why I have to keep and continue doing the work. I have to continue to seek God. I have to continue to do His work. I have to continue to help others. I have to continue to pray and meditate so I can get connected to this feeling. It's a connection that I feel so that can guide me in my day so that I can show up as best as I can doing God's will, not my will. And I cannot do that on my own. I cannot do it on my own. I need God's help. I need to surrender many times throughout the day, because things don't go my way, many, many times a day. And I didn't know all this until I came into Overeaters Anonymous, worked the 12 steps, and got a guide of my understanding. And it's an ongoing process. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. So I'm so grateful, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about page 12, that fifth paragraph that starts with, "Thus I was convinced," through one paragraph ending, "A new world came into view." So, Barbara A., please share with us, followed by Vanessa G.
Hey, good morning, fellows. Thank you, moderator, for being there, present, having the meeting. Exciting day. Eclipse day. What I have written in my sideline of my book is, part of my rock bottom is wanting God enough. I guess somebody's not muted.
The top shelf on the top shelf. The small bottles on the top shelf.
We'll have to ask Barbara W. to mute her phone. Thus, I was convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want Him enough. And that's I guess that's the message I got today, that I wanted God enough that I was willing to take a sponsor, show up, work the steps. Yeah, I have probably the same history as many, many people in this program. I had tried everything, every diet, every way that I could lose the weight. God wasn't important enough to me to seek his help. And through desperation and through reading, hitting rock bottom, just as I read and how I relate to Bill, then I was able to kind of peel off that all those beliefs, that set aside prayer. Let me set aside everything I think I know about you in this program. Let me shed that pride and that prejudice, and work this program. And just grateful. Grateful today. Grateful that there's a place I can come and share and listen and reach out. And that's it. Thank you. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara A. from California. Vanessa G., please share with us, followed by Liz E., and then I'll be taking some more names. Star 1, Vanessa.
Sorry about that, guys. My name's Vanessa G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. Grateful to be on the line this morning. At long last, I saw, I felt, I believed. A new world came into view. You know, that part, you know, the way he describes it there, you know, that, for me anyway, that's the spiritual awakening. That's the new world coming into view. It's something that was always there, always deep within, and it isn't something that I necessarily have to, you know, go out and seek. It's something I have to uncover and find, and be able to see, I guess, is probably more accurate, to finally be able to see, feel, and believe what always was there within. Prior to getting on the meeting this morning, we were talking about, for whatever reason, we got into talking about aspen groves. You know, and a stand of aspen trees is considered a singular organism with the main life force underground in the root system. And I found a line, you know, with in the Google this morning that says, before a single aspen trunk appears above the surface, the root system may lie dormant for many years until the conditions are just right, including sufficient sunlight. What a beautiful metaphor for the spiritual awakening in this program. You know, it may lie dormant for many years, but that spirit within, that spirit that needs to be awakened, through these steps, through these beautiful steps that uncover it, has to be under exactly the right conditions, including sufficient sunlight, the sunlight of the spirit. I don't know what broke through to Bill that day, that moment of clarity for him, but I know that for me, it's probably the most amazing thing that has ever happened to me, is finally seeing, believing, and feeling the presence of God. And you guys are with me. Thank you. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Vanessa G. from New Mexico. Liz E., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Good morning, good afternoon. Liz E. from Liz E. for Elegant from Bristol in Southwest England, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for everybody doing service here today. Thank you. And this message here is when we want him with a capital H, and that's very intentional, enough. And so that tells me that, you know, this is a program of action. I have to want him enough. not just one tim, a little bit, not a small amount, but enough. And that's a big word, enough. And I have to be very intentional. I have to show up every day and want God enough in my life. And you know what? Some days my self-will kind of creeps in there. And I'm sitting here reflecting, I don't want him enough, because I think that, you know, Liz, Elizabeth, whatever I get called, you know, he knows better. And I don't. And that is my experience, strength and hope. I really don't know better, but I have to every day work at wanting him enough. And at long last, I saw, I felt, I believed. And that is the promises. And that is my experience, strength and hope. But it is only if I want him enough. And at long last, I saw, I felt, I believed, the scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes and a new world came into view. So that's clear thinking, that's sanity, that's emotional sobriety. That's, you know, you know, I have to engage God and ask him, you know, and I'm doing a run. I kind of agreed to do a 10K run, and at 61, I've never run in my life and I've been struggling. And, you know, my beautiful sponsor said, well, you're not in charge. It's God that's in charge. And of course, I keep forgetting. I keep forgetting all these things because I have a built-in forgetter. But, you know, I need to want him enough. I need to engage with him every day. And today is day one for me. Every day is day one. And I get clear thinking. And that's the promise. Thanks a million. I'll pass. Bye.
Thank you, Liz E. from the UK. And I'm going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We're on page 12, the fifth paragraph. Thus, I was convinced through that one paragraph ending, a new world came into view. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share with us?
Tom L., California.
Tom L.?
Simone L., California.
What was that first name?
Simone
Carrie R.
L.
And before, was that a Marie R.?
Carrie R.
Oh, I'm sorry, Carrie. And who was before Carrie?
Simone L., California.
Oh, Simone L., thank you so much.
Deborah
okay.
G.
Deborah G.
Could you tell me the page again and...
Sure, we're on page 12, the fifth paragraph. Thus, I was convinced through that one paragraph today.
Thank you.
Julie B.
Much.
From Ohio.
Julie B. from Ohio.
Thank you.
Ed W. from Toronto, Canada.
Ed W. from Canada. Okay. All right, let's go ahead and stop. Pardon?
Did you get Agnes A.?
Agnes A. We'll put you in on the end there, Agnes A. Thank you so much. Tom L., Simone L., Carrie R., Deborah G., Julie B., Ed W., and Agnes A. Tom A., please go ahead and get us started if you would.
Hello, this is Tom L. from California. I'm going through a bad spot. I should be through it in like 10 seconds. But anyway, I'm a very much... I love the shares so far. I have a built-in forgetter. All right. So we're in a place, well, Bill is drunk. Always remember that for most of Bill's story, Bill is drunk. Now, I don't know if this happened exactly the way he says it, but let's imagine it did. He's being tortured. He's an alcoholic torture. He's on the rack. He's not doing well. He has this amazing... luck of seeing his friend who's as bad an alcoholic as he is, and this guy's making sense, and he's not preaching, and he's saying, you know, a higher power, a God, you probably use more specific language than that, did this for me. And Bill is like, obviously this works, but obviously I can't access this because my whole belief system is against it. So he has this this brief preview of what it might be like to surrender. I too had that preview. I was not fresh to this game as Bill was. I had been through OA several times, as many of us have had, and I was kind of jaded. I'd been in relapse for about 2 years. I was up 100 pounds again. I was not in a very spiritual frame of mind. My moral health had fallen off a cliff. I was not well, and I was not treating people well. And I hit bottom. I saw that if I continued on, disaster loomed, like Bill. And so I got down on my knees, put my face in the carpet, and I prayed. And I knew in my heart, I can't do it. There is a power greater than me. I got to get square with this power. And then I realized when I got up from that carpet that I had to do some things, because it would vanish. This feeling of surrender would vanish immediately if I didn't take action. And it was a really gnarly couple of days where I was hanging outside meetings. I didn't want to go in because I was embarrassed. I was started listening to a meeting. I came to this meeting fairly soon after, but the first thing I had to do was actually I had to call somebody and say, I can't do this, help me. That kept that flame of not doing it my way alive for one more day. And it's been 2.5 years, two and three quarters years, actually, that I've kept it alive. And it's not been pretty. But I got through the steps. I'm sponsoring. And I connect every day as best I can. Because if without this, you know what I do. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Tom L. from California. Simone L. from California, please share with us, followed by Carrie R.
Hi, this is Simone L. from California. I'm a compulsive overeater, sugar addict, and I am just following relapse. And so my sponsor said, you should share this morning. And what a good morning for me to identify in with in the passage, just reminding us that God cares always if we care enough. And so it just reminds me of, you know, the person driving the car. God is the person driving the car. He is always in the same position. And I'm the passenger. So I'm the one who moves. If I'm not feeling nearer to God, it's because I'm the one that's moving. God hasn't moved as the driver of the car. And so I'm reflecting on that part, that second piece of that first paragraph of if we care enough. And so finding my reasons to care. And with that, I thankfully pass.
Thank you so much, Simone L. from California. Carrie R., please share with us, followed by Deborah G.
Hi, my name's Carrie R. I'm in Northern California, actually, Humboldt County. And this paragraph struck me today because somebody's not muted. There's an echo on the line. Because I've resisted coming back to A Vision for You. I used to come years ago, but I think I got prejudiced when the meeting seemed to change and just read one paragraph. And I would be like, oh, that's not enough. I need more. And that was my prejudice. And so this paragraph today, scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes. A new world came into view. I woke up today willing to try again, And we read this paragraph. And what's true is that if one paragraph isn't enough for me, I can go back and read a few paragraphs leading up to that one and give it more depth and weight for myself, because I do seem to need that. I may not argue with words, but I will argue with my actions, and I'm the one that suffers because of that. And for today, I try to cease fighting everything and everyone. And I do find this AA big book relevant to my my compulsion, my addiction. And I'm glad to be here today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie R. from California. Deborah G., please share, followed by Julie B.
Oh, good morning, Dawn. Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you so much for your service and everyone's service making this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to any newcomers on the line. I'm so glad that you're here. And, you know, I was thinking about my experience with my divine loving power presence and how that all happened because of taking the action of surrendering, and I can't do this. You know, please help me. You know, help me, help me. I can't do this. And when I did that surrender and allowed that divine loving power presence into my life to help me with the food, to help me with my life, and I started to see that working in my life, then I was convinced, and I'm continually convinced when I see that happening. But yes, I can fall away from that and get into my self-centered fears and, you know, all the things that crop up and just all that stuff. But I can also remember again that I need to do the work on that because of the experience that I've had in the past, that there's that power. There's power there if I seek that power. I felt, I believed. Scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes. A new world came into view. And living my life differently today is what happens when I do all that. And I love it. I love my life today. Sometimes it's hard and difficult because I'm in the way. But when I get myself out of the way, I can experience the beauty and the wonderfulness of living this way. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Julie B., please share with us, followed by Ed W. Star one, Julie.
Thank you. Sorry, Julie B. from Ohio. Thank you so much, Dawn, for taking the meeting. It's great to be on the line this morning. I have been like struggling with like my conception of God, you know, just always thinking that it's an entity that exists somewhere that's unattainable for me. And so in order to get to the bottom of that, I was reviewing I have like a long forgiveness list, like in making my steps 8 and 9 where I reviewed where I did harm, I saw that it was actually, a lot of it was really just me holding on to grudges and holding on to unforgiveness. And in prayer the one night, because my sponsor tells me, go to prayer, like just continue to go to prayer first. And so in prayer the one night, basically I got the truth that God was at the top of that unforgiveness list, different things in my life that I have held on and felt like he had wronged me. I was mad that I had a tough childhood. I was mad that my dad passed away when I was 20 years old. I was mad about having this issue in my life of mental health. I also got coffee with a girlfriend, and she told me about how she came to forgiveness with her ex-husband and his new wife, and she has only love and prayers for them now. And she did it through writing. She wrote him a letter of the reasons why she held on to grudges. And then she said that she wrote a letter basically from him kind of back. And she had just like a few different letters that she did, and then one that was like a going forward letter. So with my creator, with God, like I've done the same. I have this grudge list. And then I also have this beautiful letter from him that continues to unfold in the next, like I'm giving it a few days for us to spend time together. And you know, he's not mad that I have these feelings and these judgments. And there's such acceptance and love even through that. So I'm all that to say that the scales and the pride and prejudice is coming off of me through the tool of writing. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Julie B. from Ohio. Ed W., please share with us, followed by Agnes A.
Hello, everyone. Ed W. here from Toronto, Canada. Listening to other people's shares and listening to the reading, it just reminds me where I was before God, coming into these rooms. What I really, really wanted, what I was really seeking coming here was a way to control the eating. And that is not a small miracle to be removed, and it's not from my power. But there's so much more than that. It's the, finding a higher power, or, my conception of God has, once the food is put down, life is unmanageable, and there's so much, I'm just so restless and I'm so agitated, which is why I went to the food. But with God to my, my conception and turning over everything to Him, provides me that peace, provides me, a way of living. The worst thing I was doing was putting myself in charge and, finding a power greater than myself, putting Him in charge has really been the solution, has really been so beneficial. And one thing I really like is that when I am restless again, or I'm irritated, or I'm in, anger or resentment, I know that I'm taking over and I'm, removed from God. So there's the steps to get back, because I'm not perfect. I will keep going back and trying to take charge, but I'm getting better and better, and the resentments are getting shorter and shorter, or that restlessness is getting shorter and shorter, because I'm turning over and finding ways to get back to Him. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ed W. from Canada. Agnes A., it's your turn to share with us, please.
Hi, this is Agnes from the world right now, usually from California. And I've just tuned in after a long time, really, to the perfect meeting with what I needed to hear, and God has a sense of humor in that way, because I've been traveling quite a bit and having excuses for, maybe not excuses, reasons, but anyway, time difference, jet lag. Do I have a kitchen? Do I not have a kitchen? And I find that I'm going back into, if the food isn't perfect as defined, between me and my sponsor, then I'm just off the track, And then when I start feeling that way, like somebody said, all the fears come back, all the resentments, all the anger, all the focus on my defects of character, instead of where my power comes from. And so I was kind of in a pity party. I want to put a positive spin to this, and thinking, so does it mean that if I step away from God, then my life, including my food, and my serenity come tumbling down, So with humility, I am reminded today that every day is a new day, and that my ability to tap into the power, the connection with power that is God, is a daily basis. And that's where my reprieve from life and its drama and imperfect foods and making excuses about this, that, and the other, they're just proportionately related, it seems like. you know. So today I'm finding from this meeting, I'm reinforced that I'm not perfect. Life is not perfect. But if I want to enjoy the serenity that I've had, then this is a one day at a time. I don't get to do a la carte and skip. So that's all I wanted to share, that instead of feeling sorry that I'm not perfect and my food hasn't been perfect, given all my traveling, that there is God. And today is a fresh day, and I can tap into that power, and I'm back to that wonderful state of serenity and being empowered. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Agnes A. from California. We have time for a two-minute share. Who hasn't shared in the last few days that would like to take that?
Chanel T.
Chanel T. Go Chanel ahead. T. Thank you.
Chanel Hi, T. thanks, Dawn. Yeah. Hi, this is Chanel. I'm a grateful compulsive eater in Washington State, and I get to live in recovery today by the grace of my higher power. Speaking of higher power, so I, you know, I love the fact that I believe my higher power wanted me before I wanted it, him, them enough. Okay. I believe that. And I believe it's important for me to pass that along to my sponsees that, you know, just, is there something greater than you besides this disease? Is there something greater than you that's for goodness? Did you hang the stars? Did you create the seeds that grow the plants and trees, pine cones, et cetera? Did you know, I'm not saying that very well, but I think you know what I mean. There is a power greater than me. I know that because, for crying out loud, the disease, if I'm not working this program, the disease is my master. That's my higher power. And I don't have to have a white light experience of, ah, the clouds part and the angels sing. I don't have to have that. I just have to have this little bit of willingness to suspend my disbelief. Okay, I can suspend my disbelief. Today I have a higher power I believe in that is very much part of my life, but I don't have to start from that point. And the paragraphs preceding this talk about that. It's just enough to know there's a power greater than me and believe that perhaps this could work if I act as if and just do the work anyway. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Chanel T. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. Thank you to everyone who shared, by the way. And we're going to be following that up with the Serenity Prayer. Will Yvonne A. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Star One, Yvonne A. Okay, perhaps she had...
Hi, sorry, oh. Dawn. I'm here.
Very
sorry.
Good. No worries. Go ahead.
I thought I was unmuted, but I was not. Okay, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.